Hi, this is Carrie Burse, Assistant Librarian and in charge of Youth Services at Yarmouth Port Library. For my chapter one, I would like to read the first chapter of a book titled Elsewhere, written by Gabrielle Zevin. She is also the author of the book The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, which is being turned into a movie and has been being filmed on the Cape. Over the last month, which would be November and December of 2021. So once again, this is the first chapter of the book Elsewhere by Gabrielle Zevin, and it is a young adult title. Prologue, in the end. The end came quickly, and there wasn't any pain. Sometimes the father whispers it to the mother, sometimes the mother to the father. From the top of the stairs, Lucy hears it all and says nothing. For Lizzie's sake, Lucy wants to believe that the end was quick and painless. A quick end is a good end. But she can't help wondering, how do they know? The moment of the crash certainly must have been painful, Lucy reasons, and what if that one moment hadn't been quick at all? She wanders into Lizzie's room and surveys it despondently. A teenage girl's whole life is a collection of odds and ends. A turquoise bra thrown over a computer monitor, an unmade bed, an aquarium filled with earthworms, a deflated Mylar balloon from last Valentine's Day, a do not enter sign on the doorknob, a pair of unused tickets for a Machine concert under the bed. In the end, what does it all mean anyway? And what does it matter? Is a person just a pile of junk? The only thing to do when Lucy feels this way is to dig. Dig until she forgets everything and everyone. Dig right through the pink carpet. Dig until she reaches the ceiling and the floor below. Dig until she falls through. Dig and dig and dig and dig. Lucy has finally worked up a good cleansing dig when Alvy, the 7-year-old brother, picks her up off the rug and sets her in his lap. Don't worry, Alvy says. Even though you belong to Lizzie, someone will always feed you and wash you and take you to the park. You can even sleep in my room now. Sitting primly on Alvy's too small lap, Lucy imagines that Lizzie is just away at college. Lizzie was nearly 16 and would have happened in about 2 years anyway. The glossy brochures had already begun piling up on Lizzie's bedroom floor. Occasionally, Lucy would urinate on one of the brochures or bite a corner out of another, but even then, she knew it couldn't be stopped. One day, Lizzie would go, and dogs weren't allowed in dorm rooms. "Where do you think she is?" Alvy asks. Lucy cocks her head. "Is she," he pauses, "up there?" As far as Lucy knows, the only thing up there is the attic. "Well," Alvy says, jutting his chin defiantly toward the sky, "I believe she is up there, and I believe there are angels there, and harps, and heaps of puffy clouds, and white silky pajamas, and everything." Likely story, Lucy thinks. She doesn't believe in the happy hunting ground or the rainbow bridge. She believes a pug goes around once, and that's it. She wishes she might see Lizzie again someday, but she doesn't hold out much hope. Even if there is something after the end, who knows if it is kibble or naps or fresh water or cushy laps or even dogs? And the worst part of it all, it isn't here. Lucy moans, mainly in grief, but partially, it must be said, in hunger. When a family loses its only daughter, a pug's mealtimes can be erratic. Lucy curses her treacherous stomach. What kind of beast is she to be hungry when her best friend is dead? "I wish you could talk," Alvy said. "I bet you're thinking something interesting." "And I wish you could listen," Lucy barks. But Alvy doesn't understand her anyway. The next day, the mother takes Lucy to the dog park. It's the first time anyone has remembered to walk Lucy since the end. On the way there, Lucy can smell the mother's sadness all around her. She tries to determine what the smell reminds her of. Is it rain? Parsley? Bourbon? Old books? Wool socks? Bananas, Lucy decides. At the park, Lucy just lies on a bench, feeling friendless and depressed, and will it never end? A little hungry. A toy poodle called Coco asks Lucy what's wrong. And with a sigh, Lucy tells her. As the poodle is a notorious gossip, the news spreads quickly through the dog park. Bandit, a one-eyed all-American, who is in less refined circles would be called a mutt, offers his sympathies. He asks Lucy, "They're putting you on the streets?" "No," Lucy replies. I'll still live with the same family. Then I don't see what's so bad about it, Bandit says. She was only 15. So, we only have 10, 15 years tops, and you don't see us carrying on. But she wasn't a dog, Lucy barks. She was a human, my human, and she got hit by a car. So, we get hit by cars all the time. Cheer up, little pug. You worry too much. That's why you have so many wrinkles. Lucy has heard this joke many times before, and she thinks, somewhat unkindly, for Bandit isn't a bad sort, that she has never met a mutt with a good sense of humor. My advice is to find yourself another two-legger. If you'd lived my life, you'd know they're all about the same anyway. When the kibbles run out, I'm gone. With that, Bandit abandons Lucy to join a game of frisbee. Lucy sighs and feels very sorry for herself. She watches the other dogs playing in the dog park. Look how they can sniff each other's rear ends and chase balls and run around in circles. How innocent they seem. In the natural order of things, a dog isn't meant to outlive her human, Lucy howls. No one understands unless it happens to her. And what's more, no one even seems to care. Lucy shakes her small round head. It's so totally disheartening. I can't even be bothered to curl my tail. In the end of a life only matters to friends, family, and other folks you used to know. The pug whimpers miserably. For everyone else, it's just another end. I will add one more chapter, which is later than in the book, just so you get a taste or a flavor for the writing, which I find absolutely stupendous. This is a chapter later in the book, and it's called Time Passes. There will be other lives. There will be other lives for nervous boys with sweaty palms, for bittersweet fumblings in the back seats of cars, for caps and gowns in royal blue and crimson, for mothers clasping pretty pearl necklaces around daughters' unlined necks, for your full name read aloud in an auditorium, for brand new suitcases transporting you to strange new people in strange new lands. And there will be other lives for unpaid debts, for one-night stands, for Prague and for Paris, for painful shoes with pointy toes, for indecisions and revisions. And there will be other lives for fathers walking daughters down aisles. And there will be other lives for sweet babies with skin like milk. And there will be other lives for a man you don't recognize, for a face in a mirror that is no longer yours, for the funerals of intimates, for shrinking, for teeth that fall out, for hair on your chin, for forgetting everything, everything. Oh, there are so many lives. How we wish we could live them concurrently instead of one by one by one. We could select the best pieces of each, stringing them together like a strand of pearls. But that's not how it works. A human's life is a beautiful mess. In the year Liz will turn 13 again, she whispers in Betty's ear, happiness is a choice. So what's your choice? Betty asks. Liz closes her eyes, and in a split second, she chooses. 5 years pass. When one is happy, time passes quickly. Liz feels as if one evening she went to bed 14, and the next morning she woke up 9. Thank you for listening. The book again, Elsewhere, by Gabrielle Zevin.